Now for our scripture reading this morning, if you would turn to that wonderful portion in Romans 8, the first to the 14th verses, Romans 8, 1 to 14, we will read responsively. Now this is a most precious portion, and I think especially for the many who came to Christ last Sunday morning, this portion this morning could mean more to you than it ever meant before. So as we read it, drink in every word of the greatness of our God in salvation. The first verse of Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
For what the law could not do, and most people have an idea that the law can do something for them, the law's only ministry is a schoolmaster to bring you to Christ. That's what Paul says. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And so that's all the law's purpose is. The law was not written that you might fulfill it. The law was written that you might see your condemnation. And in seeing your condemnation, seek Christ who fulfilled it, who answered every claim of the law, who was sinless and perfect, and then paid the price for your sin, the sinless Lamb of God. So the law is a ministry of condemnation and of death. James says, he that offendeth in one tittle of the law is guilty of the whole law. So it's not a matter of picking the most heinous sins and saying, I haven't committed those. It's not a matter of saying, I haven't committed adultery, and I haven't done this, and I haven't done that. Therefore, my average is 65 or better, I'll get in. He that offendeth in one tittle of the law is guilty of what? The whole law. So you needed a Savior, Christ the Lord. Just as simple as that. It's not involved. It doesn't require any great stretches of intellect. You do not have to be an intellectual giant to understand this. God made it that way, see, just as simple as he possibly could, so that no one can ever say, I couldn't understand. All you have to understand is your own heart to know that it's desperately wicked, as God says. Who can know it? You wouldn't want anybody to know your heart. You wouldn't want a soul in the world to know your heart. Only God knows the heart. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through your flesh, you see. That's its weakness. God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemns sin in the flesh.
The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
In other words, once you have come to Christ, your walk, your habit of life, if I might say, is now after the Spirit. It doesn't mean that you won't have failures and flaws, but your walk is after the Spirit. Therefore, he tells us the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us because the Holy Spirit dwells in us, you see. This is the great key. This means that Christ's death has been accepted. You cannot have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you unless Christ's death has been accepted as the means of your redemption. Then the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in your breast, and you know that the righteousness of the law has been fulfilled in you. Isn't that wonderful? By faith we understand. See? Tremendous. My capacity to fulfill the law? Nil. His? Perfect. What does he do? He clothes me in his righteousness. So that when God looks down now upon me, he doesn't see the law of Moses standing between God and man, but he sees Christ standing between him and man, and the believer has Christ's as his advocate before the Father, so that we are seen now through the blood of Jesus. Remember the Old Testament, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. This was Israel. In the New Testament, when I see Christ's blood, thy sins are in the deepermost parts of the sea. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. How blessed and how great is our God. For the law could what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. You can judge whether you're saved by the concentration of your appetites. If your life is more concentrate upon the things of the world, it's evident that this verse has not been fulfilled. It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind just the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You can read that eighth verse.
So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Notice how you know you're in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. This is how you know you're in the Spirit, you see. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness.
In other words, once Christ came in to dwell in us, God looks at us concerning sin as dead. You are dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ paid the penalty and died in our place. And if we were to look back in the 10th verse of the 6th chapter, it says, in that he died unto sin once. In that he liveth unto God. Now notice, likewise, I'd underline that. I'd put a circle around it so that you know that it's you. Likewise, reckon yourselves what? To be dead indeed unto sin. This is as far as judgment is concerned, it's past. You can't die twice for crime. You can't pay the death penalty twice. Even the state says that. A man can't die twice for his offense or for his crime. God says you can't die twice. If you're dead with Christ, it's finished. People try to get around this verse. Try to say salvation can be lost and saved and lost. You can't die and live and die and live and die and live. You're dead. It says, how did Christ die? He died once. Right? Likewise, all right? Likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful, wonderful verse. Now to go back to the 8th chapter. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. You can read the 12th.
Therefore, brethren, we are dead in the flesh, we live after the flesh.
Now notice, God doesn't say your flesh is dead. There's going to be a war in your members. But the habit of your life should be the walk in the Spirit, you see? The incursions should be to sin. In other words, there's a failure here and there. There's a falling into sin. Now and then this happens. Satan wins a battle, and you're grieved in heart, and you flee to God for forgiveness. Your rebound indicates you're saved. No rebound? I'd search my heart. I'd search my heart. Boy, I want to say this very clear. Christian, if you're living in sin, and it doesn't bother you, if you're contemplating sin with anybody, and you're mulling it over in your mind and enjoying the expectations of it, I'd search my heart to see if I was saved. I'd search my heart. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Boy, I tell you, that couldn't be clearer. I think it's so simple that it would defy us not to understand it, you see. So may God add his blessing to this wonderful portion of his precious word. Sin grieves the heart. The believer's heart is crushed when the believer sins. And the believer flees to Christ for forgiveness. Listen, beloved, your own experience, if you're saved, tells you that. When you have fallen into sin, the first thing you want to do, you don't run to anybody else but the Lord Jesus, and you plead for forgiveness. What is this the evidence of? As many as are led there by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I want to say this, the Spirit of God leads you immediately to repentance, because he's grieved within your heart, deeply grieved by sin. This is how God keeps his church straight. This is why there are wheat and tares in all the churches. Because there are those who have had genuine conversions and know it. And there are those who still doubt and do not know it. Boy, I want to say this to everyone here. There's no time left for doubting. Time is too short. Should not be a doubt in your mind when I talk of these things. You should radiate and say, I'm in Christ. His Spirit dwells in me. When I sin, my heart breaks and I flee to the cross for forgiveness. God never said you'd be sinless. In 1 John, he says, he that saith he hath no sin is a liar, and the truth isn't in him. What does it mean? The man who thinks he's sinless has the idea that by the flesh he's maintaining himself. That's what he's thinking. But the maintenance is all of God. May I remind you that when Jesus says, forgive me for bringing the message. When Jesus says in John 10:28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. He doesn't say you're holding on to him. He says, I'm holding on to you. Right? No one shall pluck them out of my hand. I have no doubts about the strength of Christ's hand to hold me. If I were holding on, I'm afraid I'd lose my grip many times. But I'm glad he's holding on to me, you see. That's what really counts. May God add his blessing to this wonderful portion of his precious word.